Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Supreme Court now says the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. There's no doubt marriage is under attack from all directions. Some say, why marry? Living together is becoming the norm. Today, why marriage as an institution is so important. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks on what marriage is and isn't.
Someone has said that marriage is like flies on a screen door. Those that are in want out, and those that are out want in. The question I have to ask is, why is it that so many people who get married with such good intentions end so disastrously? I've married many people. I don't ever recall a couple saying, well, our intention is to have a miserable marriage. But I've married some people who have had a miserable marriage. I've married some people who ended in divorce. 20 or more years ago, I flew from Chicago to Tokyo nonstop. If that jet plane had been off by 1 degree all the way to Tokyo, we wouldn't have ended in Tokyo. We'd have ended somewhere else in another country. Just like those little birds that fly from one island and they nest there and then they fly back thousands of miles, 1 degree off, and they'd miss those islands. Today, what we're going to do is, in this fourth message on a series entitled Fighting for Your Family, we're going to help you regroup. We're going to help you with a new trajectory, a new focus, a mid-course correction. And we're also going to answer the question of what is marriage. We're going to talk about those who say, well, you know, we live together, but we're not married, because what's a piece of paper? Well, today we're going to find out exactly what a piece of paper is. As I've been meditating on this past week, and I've had the advantage of thinking about it for several days, I'm convinced that if we went back to the beginning and looked at the owner's manual, the creator's manual, and if we followed what I'm going to share with you today, we would not have any divorces. That's a very strong statement, but after all, God did create marriage for a purpose. And there are certain requirements, and we've missed them. And so we go in the general direction, and we end up in a bad place. As you know, each message has within it an assignment, which I will be giving you a little later on in the sermon, because I fully intend that your life should be changed as a result of these sermons. It is not simply that you're hearing truth. I've been praying that you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And some of you have come to this with all kinds of relational issues, and you may be thinking about divorce or even in the middle of the divorce. Maybe it's time for you to rethink what marriage is all about. And if you're here and you're single, there's going to be a word for you too. Thank you for coming on the journey. The real purpose of marriage is to reveal God. It's to make God look good. Unfortunately, many marriages don't do that, but that was the original intention. And if we want to go back to the beginning and read the owner's manual, we have to turn once again to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, where it's all laid out for us, and I'm going to follow the outline in the Bible, not the outline that I originally thought I was going to use, because at the end of the day, I decided that God's outline was better than mine. So I always defer to Him. In fact, all that we're going to look at is one verse and all of its implications. And then at the end, we're going to be pouring grace into your soul. It's going to be laced with grace. It's going to be laced with hope. But you have to stay with me on this journey. Well, verse 24, I don't know that I even have to read it, because we all know it by memory. You remember Adam, of course, is created and everything is good, but it was not good for man to be alone. And so God creates a helpmeet. We've been here before in this passage. Adam names his wife, which shows the order of responsibility and role within the marriage. But then we get to verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. And then my translation says, hold fast. I like the old King James here. Cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. All that today, life transforming for a marriage. What I want to do is to give you three or four commitments that you make when you are married, and then we'll understand the implications and why it is that sometimes people get married and they shouldn't. I think that this passage would prevent some weddings. And by the way, I've prevented some weddings. I won't tell you all the details. I think I mentioned this several years ago, but our staff is not only committed to having good weddings, but preventing some if they can see danger up ahead. Well, are you ready? Ready for the commitment. Number one, therefore a man will leave father and mother. What that means is that marriage creates a sacred space where faithfulness can be demonstrated and where loyalty is now transferred from mother and father to the spouse. And this loyalty is very strong, and this couple creates this space, and they no longer look to mommy and daddy for guidance and direction and are always still committed to the loyalty that they have to their family ties. It is not just geographical. You leave and you decide to live in San Francisco or somewhere else. Because, you know, there are people who leave geographically, but they don't leave psychologically. This has to do with a fundamental psychological commitment to leave father and mother. That doesn't mean that father and mother aren't involved. I'm glad that that doesn't mean that. Rebecca and I have the privilege of having 8 beautiful grandchildren, and we're always invited to take care of them and to have an input into their life. But the loyalty is to your wife and the wife to her husband. They're the ones who make up their decisions. They're the ones that run the home according to their specifications. And that's what it means to leave. Now, I'm going to speak to you plainly today. I hope I always speak plainly. I don't want to be like that politician who left a political rally who said, I hope that in the excitement, I didn't happen to make myself clear about anything. I like to be clear. There are some parents who are control freaks, and they control by manipulation, by guilt. Like one woman said, you know, my mother, she owns the Midwest distributorship of guilt. Yeah. And so they control by guilt, by manipulation, by shame, even verbally, and they want to continue that control after you are married. If you let them do that, you have not left father and mother. I remember counseling a guy who said that my mother wants to break up our marriage. He said, we have a happy marriage, but she begins to meddle, she begins to talk, she begins to say things and interfere and even lies and manipulation. So I told him, you have to have boundaries here. You have to have boundaries here. And you even have to say, in this case, mother, you cannot come and visit your grandchildren. And the reason for that is because this mother created chaos. Now, there are some people who live with chaos. They cannot live without chaos, so they distribute chaos wherever they go. No wife should ever have to doubt whether her husband's loyalty is to her and not his parents. It's interesting that the command is not given to the woman, it's given to the man. The Bible is so accurate, it's also true of human nature. As I have observed marriages, I've noticed that so often it is the man who is tied to his parents. The wife is more submissive in terms of the leadership that is given by her husband, but it is oftentimes the man. I mean, I've heard stories about a man on his honeymoon calling his mother every day, lots of other stories like that. It is Dan Allender who wrote, we can honor our mother and father only if we have first created the proper boundary to serve and protect our spouse. You leave father and mother. You know what you also leave? You also leave past attachments. Yeah, you don't look up that wonderful girl that you dated in college on Facebook just to see what she's up to, and begin to fantasize of how much better it would have been if you had married her. I'm speaking here plainly because counselors will tell you that Facebook is the chief way in which divorces now happen. Because, you know, because of bonding, oftentimes sexual bonding, you know, you have people going back and they have trouble in their marriage, and they're beginning to fantasize about, if only I had married my college sweetheart, how wonderfully we would have lived. When you walk down to the altar, all the ghosts are left behind. And you break all those ties. Pornography also, which is a commitment that many people have, and it's an addiction that we've talked about in different contexts. The fact is that all the things that intrude upon the one man, one woman relationship and building a sacred space where there can be faithfulness and trust, all those relationships have to be laid aside. Now, I'm not saying you have to be perfect before you get married, or else you know what the conclusion to that is. None of us would be married today. But I also have to tell you that the courting period is one of the most deceptive periods of time that you will ever go through on both sides of the ledger. Because everybody is at his best, and, oh, yeah, I really do enjoy football, because you enjoy football. Yeah, I really do. That's why getting married is something like getting a phone call in the middle of the night. First of all, you get a ring, and then you wake up, okay?
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I really do believe that God uses the struggles of marriage to sanctify us. When you stop to think of it, you take two imperfect people, and now they're supposed to live together in intimacy. They're supposed to be able to connect and to agree, when basically we are very selfish and very self-centered. And as a result of that, there is bound to be conflict, even in the best of marriages. Like a friend of mine used to say that to those who would say, oh, we've never had an argument, he would always counter and say, you know, my marriage has never been that boring. But here's what I believe, that God calls us to work through these difficulties, to face them, to become honest with each other and with God. That's why we're making available this series of messages entitled Fighting for the Family. And it's available in video format along with a discussion guide so that you can use it in a small group setting or use it with your family, because we deal with all kinds of issues that oftentimes are dismissed or secrets in the home. Thank you for joining us today, and you stay tuned for some very important information, and I'll see you right here next time. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. We're hearing What Marriage Is and Isn't, the fourth of 10 messages on Fighting for Your Family. Next time, more myth-busting about marriage and how to make it work God's way. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.